You're listening to the Plain Label Podcast. Hello and welcome back to the Plain Label Podcast. I'm your host, Eric Williams, and in this episode, we continue our look at the Saw franchise with 2009's Saw 6 and 2010's Saw the Final Chapter, or Saw 3D. Here to discuss the films with me is our resident Jill Tuck hater, Mr. Andrew Shaw.
Hate's a strong word. I'm not a fan.
Before getting into our discussion, I would like to mention that we are still proud members of the Deliberate Noise Network. Search Deliberate Noise in your podcast app for more great shows from the network. Mr. Shaw, what are you having this lovely Monday morning?
I am still on the coffee. This is the high beam coffee from Gridlocked Roastery.
Okay.
And it's really nice. I think I actually like it almost more than the other ones. It's really nice as a black coffee.
And what's the difference between that and your Ghetto Blaster? Like, is it a darker roast?
Yeah, it's darker and it's a little bit stronger, which is good when you drink your coffee black. I like the stronger roast. So yeah, I might stick with this one for a little bit longer now.
Ooh, okay. He's going on. He's cheating on his Ghetto Blaster there. You've met a new woman, so to speak.
That's it.
Yeah. So I'm going with the tried and true because I'm traditional like that. And I'm having this nice little blood red flavored, or blood red colored, not blood red flavored. Blood red colored.
It's appropriate.
It is a black raspberry flavored water with some vodka in it. And once again, it is the same old where it's my kids' flavored water and it's me going, oh shit, I forgot I was supposed to have a drink. I'll just make this. So that's how that went.
Fancy drinks like last time?
Well, I figured it was similar in some respects to some of the decisions that were made in this film, where it's like, oh shit, this is coming out. Well, we'll just do this, I guess.
Yeah.
So that's kind of my drink equivalent of what I think these movies are up to. So, all right. Well, that's what we are drinking. Those are the films we're going to be discussing. We're going to start in 2009 with Saw 6.
You think it's the living that will have ultimate judgment over you?
Why are you doing this? What do you want?
Because the dead will have no claim over your soul.
No, I'm not gonna do it! I'm not gonna do it!
But you may be mistaken. But I am still among you. When faced with death, who should live versus who will live are two entirely separate things.
If it's Halloween, must be Saw.
You will be put to the test.
Saw 6.
He helped me.
All right. And the IMDb plot synopsis for this one. And we are lucky this time because I found, for these next two films, I found a reviewer that did both of these. So these are crafted by the same artist.
Ooh.
And the plot synopsis for the first one for Saw 6 goes like this. The body of Agent Stram is completely smashed and destroyed, and Detective Mark Hoffman frames him. Stram is accused of being Jigsaw's apprentice, and the FBI chases him. Dan Erickson calls Hoffman, and he learns that Agent Lindsay Perez has not died. When Dan finds a tape with the voice of the killer, he invites Hoffman and Perez to go with him to the laboratory to see the progress with the identification of the real voice. Getting real nuanced. John's widow, Jill Tuck, receives a box from his lawyer with 6 envelopes and instructions, and she gives the first 5 to Hoffman. The unethical CEO of the Umbrella Health, William Easton, and his team are abducted, and William is forced to play a game and chooses who will live or die to save his family and him. Oh fuck. I use Grammarly on my for my coverages and on Google Docs. And when I cut and pasted this in here, it went nuts. Like, it was giving me all these suggestions of things that were not correct. So that is the synopsis of Saw 6. What did you think of this effort of this film?
Hmm. My mother always taught me, if you have nothing nice to say, don't say anything at all. So it's going to be a very short podcast.
Yeah, that's right. We're just going to sit here and just be silent for a minute or so and then just move along.
just going, and you hear, and then you hear us just go,
oh boy. Yep. That's, I mean, that's, that was my sort of reaction was, oh, fuck.
Oh, it was rough.
Yeah, it was not very good, right?
After liking 4 and 5 with the detective side of it, this one was just, I don't know. It just, it feels like they did the, again, the, we found a script that might work as a Saw film. Let's tackle the other bullshit on top of it. Mm-hmm. And it just, yeah, I kind of just got a bit bored. Mm-hmm. And it was, it just, yeah, like the battle between Jill and Hoffman is just, I don't know, it was just stupid.
yeah I'm watching this, I watched this last night, and I'm watching it and I'm thinking, like, who is the audience siding on in this movie? Because we start off and we have the two people, and they're like loan sharks essentially, and we have the one overweight guy and then the young black woman, and they have to give a pound of flesh, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so it's, you know, who's going to be crazier? And this is sort of what like I felt Patrick Melton and Marcus Dunstan, who wrote this movie, I felt like this is what they did, to where they're like, all right, here's the setup. Who can be zanier and crazier? And then we'll, you know, it's just like, who can top the other one? And that's what we'll go with, is what it sort of felt like. And then it seems to me that they got to the actual part where they are shooting the movie and they're like, oh wait, we don't have a protagonist. Like, we just have a bunch of people that are villains. And you're like, okay, you know, because the main guy that you follow, he, you know, the CEO, he's, first of all, he's meeting with a ton of actual clients for being the CEO. So I don't know if that's 100% true or not. But he's a guy that you don't necessarily want to win. Like, the only people that you would think, oh, I want them to do well, would be the mother and the son in the acid cell at the end.
Mm.
Because you're like, okay, these people seem like they're just sort of normal, good people. Otherwise, everyone else is just like varying degrees of a villain. And so I'm like, well, what are we doing? Like, what is the point here?
Yeah, it's at the point now where there is not one nice person. And, you know, like, I was following, because I liked Strum in the last two, because he was actually, you know, a detective. He seemed like a decent person. So we had a likable character. Mm-hmm. And now it's just, let's throw a bunch of assholes in a room or doing all the rest of the work. I mean, I guess the police detective, what's his name? Erickson and Perez, I guess, were supposed to be the ones we latch onto, but even they didn't last very long in this. Like, it was just so, it's the problem I have with zombie movies, in that every character, like, there's no good ending to any of this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're at a point now where we're so far in that everybody who's associated with the show, the movies, has to die.
Mm-hmm.
And it's there's no happy outcome, and it's just like, I'm so far into these movies now, I'm just like, it's really hard for me to care for any characters, or because I know they're just gonna die, or they set up someone nice, it makes me feel bad because I know something bad's gonna happen to them.
Exactly. Yeah.
So yeah, it's just like, they were writing this, I can just see them, the more I think about it, the more I see them, the script writing process would be just, what kind of ridiculous traps can we put in this one, and then we'll write a story around it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just going to be loosely linked to everything else. I mean, it is linked to everything, but it's just, you know, how gory, how disgusting can we be? How over the top can we be with the gore? Oh, and we need to put some references to Jigsaw in there as well.
Well, you say references, I say it's more deleted scene material, to where I'm like, why do they keep doing this shit? Like, that's the only thing that I wrote down in my notes, was like, just let Jigsaw be dead. I just don't get that. Like, it's like a thing where I would have loved to have seen any of these movies be 10 years later, some little fucker thinks that the jigsaw thing is a cool thing and just starts trying to recreate and just trying to like be the next and be a copycat. And that's fine. It's like they were running away from being the copycat idea.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh no, they were all working on it together, especially when we get to our next film. I was like, they were all working on it together. All of them, like in, everyone in the movie was involved in every one of these traps and then that kind of stuff, to where I'm like, you got to be kidding me with this. So I would have loved to have one of these movies be like, okay, we got to set this in a different city, maybe a different time, a different country, even like anything that would have been different. Instead, you just keep rolling Hoffman out there. And I'm like, I don't know what this dude is doing this for, because, you know, thankfully, unlike the Batman sort of trope, you get like mentions every once in a while of Hoffman's sister, but it's not a thing that they press real hard. And so you're just kind of watching it and you're like, he's just doing this just because, like, and this is a movie franchise that is about morality and making choices and all of this kind of thing. Yet he doesn't have it. He's just choosing to do it. Like, there's no reason why he's doing any of this by this point. Well, anyway,
I think it was blackmail to start with. Mm-hmm. And then now it's just become to the point where it's like, well, Jigsaw's dead, man. If you just got out of there, it wouldn't matter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because they keep trying to, you know, they bring the agent Strom's partner back, and you're kind of like, okay, because they of course didn't show her dead body. And I was like, in this franchise, like, a dead body is much more important than just saying, oh, that person's dead.
Mm-hmm.
And that may or may not be a clue for you for the movie that you have yet to see.
Oh, okay. Oh, no.
It's something that you would have seen miles away. And that's part of my issue.
Is it we're talking Jigsaw or
I don't know what are we talking about. You'll have to find out when you watch them. So it's talking about Agent Perez in this one, and you'd never see her die. You know, it looked like she was maybe gonna die, but you don't see her get killed specifically. So you're like, okay, so she comes back and she's working with Erickson, and they're gonna figure out the identity of who this Jigsaw copycat is, or disciple, or whatever. But it's like, if you watch the way that Agent Perez is, the actress is playing this, like, she knows it's him. Like, she is so obviously playing that I think it's you, to where I'm like, what is the, what, who, why? Why do you need the proof?
Exactly. It's so obvious. It's so, you know, they're not even subtle about talking to him. Like, they're not questioning him, or they haven't officially arrested him, but they're still talking to him, going, you know, oh, and the way they're speaking to him is that, like, we know it's you.
Mm-hmm.
We know you're the killer, but we haven't got the proof yet. Mm-hmm. So, and then, but I, like, the thing that baffled me too is what they bring them back for maybe 10 minutes of screen time.
Well, yeah. And then in the final chapter, he's literally in it for 3 minutes for one scene, Tobin Bell is.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm talking about like Perez and
Erickson. Yeah. They're not in it very much. Yeah,
and then he, you know, what's his name, Hoffman, kills them both, and then and sets everything on fire and runs out. It's like, holy shit!
Yeah,
like, that's, to that point, it's like, it's escalated so much now that it's like, well, you're the only one who got out. Everyone, you know, I'm assuming they knew you were in that room because there'd be cameras. It's a police station.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone's gonna know that it's you now. Like, I don't know, it's to the point where I'm like, and I'll say this to my wife sometimes when we're watching stuff, you know, it's movie logic, but at this point it's like, this doesn't work at all. There's no right. it's just so confusing now, and they've painted themselves into such a corner that there's no other way to get out of it, most of this.
Mm-hmm. So one of the things that I like the idea of, I didn't love the execution of, but I think the idea of this guy who has to save his wife and has to go through these different traps is a little his bit
family.
Like, yeah, it's a little bit like Saw 4, where, yeah, you know, he's got a morality lesson that he's going to learn at the end, you kind of think, right?
Well, that was the trick. It was, they never mentioned that it was his wife. They always said, you have to save your family.
Your family, yeah.
your family, oh, your family needs to survive. And I, the scene I kind of did like in a morbid way was the, when his team are on that rotating thing with the shotgun.
Yeah, with the shotgun.
And
yeah.
And that guy is just like, fuck you, I hate you, fuck you.
Yeah. That's what, because yeah, finally he's like, if you're going to kill me, you need to look at me, is what the guy at the end does. And I would be like, no, I don't.
No.
I already have made my choice. So I don't have to do anything now, pal.
That's it.
But so I thought that the idea of a guy that gets, you know, it's almost like a Grinch sort of a thing, or like a Scrooge sort of an idea, where it's this real jerk off and he has to learn humanity and humility and all this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so he gets puts through these different tests. He's got all these people that have worked with him or for him, and he's got to either try to save them, and he just can't quite save them. And maybe he chooses not to save some of them. I would love to see one of these have ended up in a way to where they're like, no, I'm not doing that. Just let him get killed and just move on to the next one. You know, to where it's like, I'm not going to steam the shit out of my hands or in my arms and stuff. I'm just going to let her get burned up. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like, it would have been something that would have brought some, like, either like very dark humor or something into it, to where I'm like, God, these are so oppressive to watch, you know, because it's 90 minutes, but it feels like it's 2.5 hours to me.
Yeah, it drags. And it's, you're right though. Like, just having someone, he picks like a really horrible person and they're like, you need to save these coworkers. He's like, no, I don't like them. No, right. I'm good.
Yeah.
What's going to happen? If I don't save them, am I going to die? No. Okay, cool, man. See you guys.
So, yeah, see ya. You guys were dicks.
Yeah. Remember that time you stole my lunch? Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Remember when you kept calling all those meetings when it could have been an email? Fuck you. This is what you get.
Exactly
now.
Right. Yeah.
So that would have been interesting. I do like the little bits where they are having like the breathing contest with the other guy. Some of that sort of stuff I thought was kind of interesting in terms of the traps. So I'm like, okay, well, some of this is like sort of interesting, I guess. But at the end of the day, again, I didn't care or know any of these characters. So it's like, I don't really care what happens to them. And so I don't have a rooting interest. So I don't know. Even if it would have been someone like a Jill or one of, like, I don't know, maybe Erickson or the agent in one of these deals instead of just this no-name CEO, I would have been like, oh, okay, well, I'm hoping for them at least.
And then they could have had a thing and be like, you love Bluetooth. Here's a thing in your ear.
That's good. Like the in the next one with the lady that talks too much or whatever. Where she has to be quiet. Yeah. So that, I like that. One of the things that I thought was interesting, but I thought it was kind of clumsily done, is the ending of this movie, to where we get, again, that sort of Jill Tuck versus Hoffman showdown. And she gets the sort of bear trap, the reverse bear trap on him.
Yep.
I'm like, oh, okay, interesting. They're gonna actually show someone get killed with this thing. And then he just like, I guess I didn't really know what he was doing. Like, he's just kind of like slamming into stuff and then breaks the glass and gets the bear trap stuck in between like some bars. So it doesn't rip his whole face off. And then it snaps open and it doesn't kill him. And I'm like, well, oh, he did that on purpose? Like, it was not a thing that was shot in a way to where he sees the bars, he runs over to the bars, and then you see him trying to break it to get to the bars. Like, it was unclear to me as to what he was trying to do.
And
I was like,
move.
What the fuck? Yeah, I mean, it ended up working. Like, once I pieced it together, I was like, okay. But that was one of the things to where they usually so deliberately set up stuff like that, to where when they didn't really set it up, I was like, what is he even trying to do there? So I don't know. I just didn't like that directorial choice, I guess.
Yeah, that was, you know, there's times when a Saw movie shouldn't be subtle.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they've barely been subtle from the start. Like, this is a point where you're like, no, you need to spell this out for us, because this is not obvious to everyone else.
Yeah.
Because to me, it looked like he was just going after her. He was just like, I'm trying to get to you.
That's what I thought too. He's just trying to get her. And I'm like, oh,
yeah.
Okay, I guess he wasn't. It was frustrating to me to see some of the, like the shaming of the Amanda character, to where they keep putting her in it and they're like, oh no, guess what? She's even worse. She was the one who wanted the druggy guy to attack Jill. And I'm like, God, like she's already a murderer. Do you need to make it worse than her being a murderer?
I think that was sort of the point where I love the first one. The first film is a perfect, you know, it's a classic now.
Yeah.
Second one's the third one I didn't like. 4 and 5 I enjoyed. When they got to that point and they've done that with Amanda, it was like, so you are so far out of ideas. Mm-hmm. And you're at this point where you just want to keep bringing these characters back. I'm like, if we weren't covering this for the show, mm-hmm. I'd be like, if I was watching at home, I'd be like, I think I'm actually done.
Yeah, you're like, I'm good. I'm just turning this off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Whereas now it's just a morbid curiosity to see where they go.
Yeah. How bad could it be, really? I mean, how bad could it get?
Well.
Yeah. I mean, I think we have the answer through this first batch. I mean, there's still a reboot / prequel / whatever it is that Jigsaw was. That'll be interesting to see what they choose to do there, because part of it, I want to just say, is the schedule. And we talked about this last time, about this came out every year for these 7 years.
Yeah.
And it was like, you're under the gun immediately. So what do you, you know, you got a lot of the cast and crew probably. So it's like, all right, what's the next story? Let's go, 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 go. And here I just felt like there was nothing to this at all.
No, it was literally a script written about an insurance guy who gets his comeuppance.
Mm-hmm.
And they went, and I guarantee you around this time, there were hundreds of scripts, thousands of scripts that people had written that were Saw knockoffs or Saw ripoffs.
Oh, sure.
And so they would have been just trolling through them going, oh, this one, actually, I like the premise of this one. We could tack some stuff around here, cut this shit out. All right, cool. It's a Saw movie now. And these writers, I'm not faulting the writers. I'm faulting the producers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the writers, man, good on you for getting something produced. You know, if they take your story and turn it into a Saw film, hey, more power to you.
Mm-hmm.
But the producers are just sort of going, oh, we can take this. Oh, we don't need to write a full script. We'll take someone else's script and do it this way. And there's a series of films called The Collector, I think.
Yeah, The Collector, that's right.
Yeah, and they were started as a Saw. I actually think they were started as a Saw movie. But the premise for those ones became, the producers liked it so much, they turned it into its own franchise. So, I mean, not all bad that comes out of it, but you look at something like this and you just go, we probably didn't need another movie after 5, honestly. Yeah.
Well, and it's not a coincidence that The Collector is, those were written and directed by the guys that did these movies.
Mm.
Yeah, it was, those are Patrick Melton and Marcus Dunstan. And the Marcus Dunstan is the guy from Project Greenlight that did Feast.
Of course. Yeah.
And so that's who that is. And so it's one of those where it's like, maybe on the page it's awesome, but the actual shooting script or whatever it ended up on screen, not my favorite thing. Mm-hmm. You know, but it's like, good for you to get the work. You know what I mean? Like, I'm never gonna begrudge anyone getting that paycheck, but
nope.
Woof, these are rough. Yep. So the
it's
end
the old, it's the old Mick Foley, the wrestler. He was he became like a corporate champion for a minute, and the crowd started chanting at him, "You sold out." And he turned around and said, "You're damn right, I sold out. I sold out Madison Square Garden. I sold out this place. I sold out this." And he's just like, well, "Yeah, of course."
Mm-hmm. You know what's funny is that was the first book once I got out of college that I read, and that was the first book that I had read in so long that I felt guilty reading. To where I was like,
Foley's biography.
Yeah. We're talking about WrestleMania and all that stuff.
Great book.
It is a great book, but it was like, it really man, is. I was like, I don't like, is it? I just got done reading all of this like graduate shit for like English literature and all this sort of stuff. And now I'm reading this Mick Foley book. Like, should I be embarrassed about this? And then finally I was like, fuck that. I was like, this is what I'm reading. Who gives a shit?
Yeah. It's for people who haven't read it, even if you're not interested in wrestling, it's still a very fun book. And it's a very good story of a guy who actually worked his ass off to get to where he was.
Yeah. it's one of those sort of deals to where he, you know, doesn't look like The Rock or Triple H or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't look like the sort of guy that's going to sell out a bunch of arenas. And so to show that through the hard work and sort of being good at his craft and creating characters and stuff like that, that you can still, you know, you can still be successful.
Exactly. Yeah. He looks like there's certain times when he looks like he's a homeless person who's just wandered into a wrestling ring, but got over by sheer force of will and having a, supposedly being one of the nicest people in wrestling and also having a personality that people could latch onto.
Yeah. And what, and being willing to abuse his body too.
Yeah. Well, that's the worst part of it.
Right. Right. So my main takeaway with this is we, at the end, like I said, they had the reverse bear trap and you have Costas Mandalore as Hoffman, who they had like the dun 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 sort of music and he's screaming and it's like he's got a scar on his face. And I was like, what? This is not like a big like to do in this franchise that he's got a messed up face and Jill's still out there. I was like, okay, well, that's not like a huge twist reveal or something. Like he just got away. You know, like she didn't sit there and watch him have that trap go off or something. She didn't sit and wait for him to get killed. Oh, the only other thing that I wanted to mention is we didn't really mention the little merry-go-round, which is a sort of a fun kill. We mentioned it, but we didn't really describe what it was. And I do like how I guess I liked how some of that worked, and then I was surprised that some of it like didn't get more desperate. I guess they were just kind of like, oh, help me, help me, and that's kind of all they said. And I'm like, wait a minute, like if your life is on the line, like wouldn't you offer up this guy like whatever he wants, like if you exactly. chooses, you know, like I'll give you this, I'll do this, you know. It's like, I don't know, it just felt like there was other layers of desperation that they could have gone towards in those moments.
Yeah, and like we said, I just like the one guy who just went, nah, you know what, I'm gonna die, fuck it, you're an asshole, look at me.
Right. I'm only here because of you, basically. Yeah.
Yeah. You're a shit person, and I want you to watch me while I die. That's someone who's just come to terms with it.
Right.
I'm not a good looking female character, so I'm dead.
Yeah. And so I was hoping that was going to be something like, and they sort of do that with the next movie, but those two women that are able to get free, like they've survived, like nothing happens to them really physically. I mean, they're obviously traumatized from the event, but nothing really happens to them. And they presumably just go and fuck off just the same as the older lady that is on the little barbed wire hangman's rope thing.
Yeah.
That gets away. So those three survive and they just leave, I guess. And then it's like, do they just go to work on Monday? They're like, you'll never believe my weekend.
Man, what a weekend.
Where is HR? Because I've got some stuff to talk about. So I don't know. So I thought that was interesting that they got away. And it's also interesting, and it's not mentioned at all, that it's only women that he saves. Like he only saves the women. And you're kind of like, okay, well, isn't anyone going to be like, you're only saving her because you're fucking her? You know, there's not any of that like on the merry-go-round at all. I'm like, oh, what the hell? So
that's
what
I expected.
I did too.
I expected the same thing. Yeah. Or the women to be like, oh, I'll do whatever you want. You know,
exactly. Even, yeah.
To be honest, I expected one of the guys to be like, I'll do whatever you want as well. Be like,
yeah, right. That was what I was hinting at with the levels of desperation that they didn't get to, you know? I was like, because what have they got to lose? They don't have to actually go through with it. He just needs to choose them.
You just you could go that morbid level of comedy again, where like the girl's going, oh, "I'll let you do this," and the guy's like, "Me too. I'll do that. Yeah, I can do that. Yeah, sure."
And see, it's like it's almost like they're afraid to have fun with it, to where they're like, "Oh, we're so serious."
It should have been a dark comedy by this point. It really should have.
Yeah, it's like I miss the sort of influence of like a scary movie on the creators of this, you know, like give me a little bit of a hint that, okay, we're being ridiculous. Like this is really far out there.
Yeah.
And we're going to wink and let you know that we realize that this is ridiculous.
The thing I've wanted to see, I don't know if I mentioned this in the last one, but the thing I've wanted to see since the start is, you know, how he cuts the little jigsaw piece out of the people.
Right.
I want to see that jigsaw put together.
Oh, yeah. That's a really good point, actually.
I haven't, we haven't seen anything else to do with those pieces. But even if it doesn't go together, but I just want to see, what does he do with those pieces? Like, where do they go?
Yeah. Does he just throw them away?
Yeah. Or makes like a giant jigsaw puzzle. It'd be great. Like, or have one of the traps toward the end be, these are all the people I've killed. Yeah. You need to put this puzzle into some kind of semblance of a something before the timer runs out.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
What a wasted opportunity.
Yeah, really. I like that idea. I think that they definitely could have done something with it, because they were talking about the different sort of knife that's being used.
Mm.
And they're like, oh, yeah, because then he's upset with Erickson or whoever. He's like, oh, you can tell what kind of knife was being used. And then the guy's like, he can't, but I can.
Yeah.
And blah, blah, blah. And I forget if that's in 6 or 7, because talk about the ones that run together. For me, yeah, these two really run together a lot.
Well, I think it's the next one where he's going. He's got that. Is it the detective? The detective. Oh, yeah. We'll talk about 3D when we get there in a minute.
Yeah, that's right. So anything else about number 6 before we move on to our last numbered of the Saw films?
I think I'm at a point with these movies now where I will watch the first one again.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'll go for the rest of them.
Yeah, see, I think that the first three are fine for what they are. Like I said, number 3, I do like the Amanda stuff, and I like the sort of idea that, yes, it is mean, and we know that it's mean, and it's a point at the end that it is too mean, and that's the lesson, and that's what she failed at. Once they bring Hoffman in, I'm kind of like, fuck this guy. Like, I'm sort of chalked out. I'm sort of checked out once that happens. And I didn't like Strom either, and I know that that's your dude, but I did not like him.
Nicolas Cage light.
Yeah, that's right.
Diet Nicolas Cage.
Right. Well, speaking of other people, or like people that are trying to be someone else, I had very strong Ryan Reynolds vibes from our next movie from the Gibson character, who is also in Final Destination, by the way.
Yes.
Christinella is who we're speaking of. But all right, well, let's move on to our last film in this discussion. It is from 2010, and it is called either Saw the Final Chapter or Saw 3D. IMDb plot synopsis. Again, we're going with the same gentleman. It goes like this. Detective Matt Gibson chases the psychotic detective Mark Hoffman while Jigsaw's widow, Jill Tuck, tries to kill him as assigned by her husband. However, he escapes and Jill meets Gibson and offers to sign an affidavit listing the murders committed by Hoffman. In return, she requests protection. Meanwhile, the prominent Jigsaw survivor and leader of a support group, Bobby Dagan, is abducted with his wife and friends and forced to play a mortal game to save not only his wife, but 3 of his colleagues as well. Okay, so this is Saw the final chapter, Saw 3D, Saw Final Destination, Saw whatever you want to call this film. What did you think of this one, Mr. Shaw?
I guess I kind of have to say, because it is a podcast and that's why I'm on the show. This sucked.
yes it did.
I don't like to talk badly about things. Like it's not good. Mm-hmm. And I know we'll get to it, but bringing Cary Elwes back for that, God.
Yeah, well, let's just talk about it right away. So they show throughout the movie that Dr. Gordon from the first film, he escaped and he manages to burn his leg to cauterize the wound, which is such a movie trope that everyone loves to use, right? At least he didn't like put gunpowder in it and set it off to cauterize it or something. Rambo style. What is that from? That's from Rambo.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And so then we get to the end, and Hoffman, of course, is doing all his naughty stuff. And we find out that Dr. Gordon has also been helping Jigsaw and Amanda and Hoffman and has been doing all of the surgical work because he's a surgeon, of course. And you know how all those times when there was inserted keys and all of this kind of stuff, well, that was Dr. Gordon's doing. And we get a double game over in this film. By Hoffman and then by Dr. Gordon as well. And it's like, I guess I understand the idea of wanting Dr. Gordon to come back. But like I was complaining about in the first half, just everybody's apparently involved, and it just kind of drives me crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the look, I would have almost made Cary Elwes' character the survivor character.
Exactly. Well, what I didn't get was, so he's showing up to those meetings. Is he doing that genuinely, or is it all part of this game that he's playing?
Yeah, that's it. Like, was he told by Jigsaw to go and do that, like infiltrate and check it out? And the scene, as much as Jigsaw looked like a goose with his backwards cap on, like, you know, it reminded me of the Steve Buscemi meme, you know.
Oh,
what's
yeah.
up, fellow teenagers, you know. But I liked the way he was, you know, he's got the book and he's going, oh, so you survived, huh? He goes, oh yeah, no.
Yep.
And the way he's just like, you know, you can see in his head he's going, I've never met you in my life, son. You fucked up now. I'm gonna mess you up one day.
Yeah, John with an H, without an H, doesn't matter. That's what he says. And I'm like, oh man, this guy is in deep shit.
It's probably my favorite Jigsaw little flashback. Mm-hmm. The way he's just like, you know what? Are you fucking kidding me? Like, so you survived this, did you? Oh yeah. Oh really? Oh okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
And so I think that's by far is the most interesting plot element that's been introduced since three for me, is that you have a survivor, but he's not really a survivor, which I'm like, okay, well, same difference, because it's somebody that's, you know, pretending to be part of this group. And then what is his life like, and how does he go about living his life? And that I think is interesting, but I just felt like they didn't do anything with that concept.
No, it was very rushed, and it was very like, you get some stuff at the start, but like, I would have liked to have seen more of that in a way.
Yeah.
Like ditch the Jill and Hoffman stuff.
Yeah, please.
Please. And just, you know, play on that. Like, you know, or you could have built that without it being anybody else. You could, you know, you could have used that as like the fourth film.
Mm-hmm.
As someone who's cashing in on Jigsaw, saying he's a survivor, but he's not. And having, instead of killing off Jigsaw so early, have Jigsaw go, oh, okay. All right. Well, let's mess with you now.
Right. Well, and I like the idea of him going through all of the different stuff and having to, all of these people that he lied to, having to sort of prove himself to them and that kind of thing. Like, I like the idea of that. Mm-hmm. That's one of those things to where that could have been, you know, it could have been, for me, because I love the idea of like a legacy character. It would have been something to where, for me, I would have liked to have seen him not necessarily enjoy what he's doing, but it sort of, you know, getting to the end and being like, oh, okay, I survived, because you don't necessarily technically see him die at the end.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I would have enjoyed sort of him being like, I could do that. And sort of taking the reins as a character to where he's like, okay, I was bullshitting. Now I actually got it. And I don't know why, but I think that this is my new calling kind of a idea. If you wanted to extend it out, as opposed to Hoffman has sort of no real purpose anymore in this. It's just like, he's just the bad white dude is all that he is in this. Like, okay, he's just bad because he's always been bad throughout these. And you're like, all right, I guess.
It would have made more sense, but this one was just, I don't know. It was the traps were meaner again. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. Like the one with his wife where she just burns to death was just horrible.
Well, and it took forever.
Yeah.
And like, I'm like, what are they doing? Are they got it on like the preheat setting? Like, why is this taking so long? I was like, they just, well, we're going to put it at like 125 and then we're going to bump it up to like 250. I'm like, why? Yeah. What is the deal? So I thought that the time was really sort of sloppily handled in this.
Yeah.
Because sometimes they would have different things that they had to do. Like the guy that stuck to the car, which was horrific, by the way, that was a really tough one. He stuck to the car and they give him like 30 seconds or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the hell? Like, sometimes you give these dudes like an hour to do stuff. Sometimes it's a minute. Sometimes it's 30 seconds. Like, there's just no rhyme or reason to it. And I was like, I don't understand why they keep playing around with this. Like, you think that it's not like, I would love to see Hoffman sort of like testing it out. I mean, like, okay, I got out, but I only had like a second or two to spare. We'll leave it at that. Or, I got out way too early. We got to bump that one down to 30 seconds. You know, it's just like, there's no sort of, it's just willy nilly. And I don't like that.
I just want a movie now of just, or Jigsaw at the start, testing out his things going, okay, now like he's using, you know, I'm sure he's getting animal carcasses or something to test what would happen with it and go, that's probably a bit too far. That one. Oh, they could probably survive that.
Yeah. Ooh, that only pinched his finger a little bit. I don't know. Yeah. I need to ratchet this up a little bit. It's supposed to take his hand off.
You put his hand in and it just sort of, you know, it stabs into your fingernail. And, oh, look, that's really fucking painful, but it's probably not what I'm going for.
Right. Like, let me wad this one up and throw it away and start fresh.
So featuring like a lower budget Jigsaw where he's just like, his things just mildly inconvenience you. Like it's, you know, it's the bump of, you know, you've got the oven on when you're trying to get something out of the oven and the tea towel doesn't stop the heat as much and you get that out. Oh, like, and you're just like, and that's all it is. Or, you know, the thing is you have to walk around and you're blindfolded and it's just stubbing
your toe all the time. You're walking on Legos. It's like a whole thing. So you mentioned lower budget. This was a $20 million movie to make.
Wow.
This still made $136 million worldwide. So it absolutely killed in the box office. And it is kind of interesting that they just said, you know what, we need to put this to rest. Mm-hmm. Because they were making money. So it's not like this one bombed. So we got to sort of pull back doing these every year. So that I thought was kind of interesting that they just decided that 3D was enough. They did. This one did a way better than Saw 6 did. Saw 6 in quotations only did $68 million on an $11 million budget. So that one's
pretty good though.
Yeah. So that one only did, you know, just over six times its production cost. To where this one was well over almost 7 times its budget. The thing that I was really sort of worried about or sort of like while I was watching it was we have that first kill and it's in broad daylight and I'm like, whoa, why are we doing and it was in the middle of like a shopping, like a window shopping situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, nobody has anything sharp. Like this woman's trying to bust glass with the side of her briefcase. And I'm like, how how does anyone not have a better idea than that? Like, that is the collective idea that you have, is we're going to throw this leather against this window and they're going to break it. Okay.
That baffled me. Like, and the thing what was going through my mind was when they were setting this up, how did no one see this?
Well, they must have set it up at night, right? And then they.
But even then, you know, like, it's things like that have security guards and people just driving past. Well, what are they doing over there? You know,
That feels maybe like it was a final death kind of a thing, to where you could have seen him sneaking bodies in, you know, a day at a time or whatever, at night or whatever, and hiding stuff, and could have gone like a lot of work for that payoff. But instead it's like, oh no, here they are. You don't know any of them. They know each other and hate each other. And I'm like, oh boy, this is very Final Destination-y. That's why I brought that up, to where it's just, and I was watching this, and there's moments in this where I'm like, this feels the cheapest to me. Like, I get a lot of the money had to have gone to the 3D process. But there's things that where, and I guess it was in 6 too, to where you have the sort of screws that are screwing into someone's their temple.
Yeah.
And it looks like it's like 80s Star Trek sort of level of makeup here, to where I'm like, oh, okay, this is just like a rubbery thing that's getting screwed into. Although there was moments here that it looked to me like it was going a little bit more into Clive Barker sort of direction. When we were doing a lot more skin stuff in this, where you have Sean Patrick Flannery's Bobby character, to where he's having to dig into his skin. And I'm like, man, apparently you just got, like, your skin is just rubber, apparently. Like, it just is really easy to puncture.
I was thinking with the trap at the start too, with the guys talking about, you know, the girl who's supposedly loves them both and sleeping with them both. And it was such a bro moment when they're like, oh, and they let her die instead.
Yeah. You know, what's their story? Why aren't they in that support group then?
Yeah. And I kept expecting them to be like, yo, bros before hoes, bro. And then,
that would have definitely been a Final Destination moment.
Like, what is the point? Like, I know we have to open on a trap, but what is the point of this? Honestly.
Yeah. I know. If it's not going to pay off in some sort of way, what's the point? And I did like the idea, to where you have the Bobby character that's got everyone fooled, and he's sort of collecting all of the survivors. And I'm like, well, that's kind of interesting. It's like, you know, it's like Saw meets the Avengers kind of a thing, to where we're like getting all these pieces together, and all of them are going to, you know, try to figure out who the killer is and take him down. But instead they don't do anything. And then none of the survivors are people that he has to try to save at the end or anything. And I'm like, well, what is the point of any of this then?
And that's a concept that's never really been explored in these sorts of movies too. Like, you don't see a group of people who've survived Jason or Freddy getting together at the end or anything like that. So it's like, that's probably the best concept in the whole movie. That these people who have been given that second chance get to together and tell their story and, you know, express what they need to express and get it out of their system. And even though it's run by a guy who hasn't had it go through it, it makes sense. And that's probably the best part of the whole thing, is that makes total sense.
Yeah.
People who've been through this, the PTSD on these people would be insane. And just to have them get together. Yeah. But the rest of it's just a mess.
It really is.
You know, and you would agree with this, I think too, like, if you'd cut to one of the guys in that box at the start, as he's sort of, you know, while his friend, the girl's being eviscerated, it sort of just flashes to him sitting in the room going, and that's, you know, that was my jigsaw story. And then have the group around him. There you go. Perfect. Mm-hmm. It leads to something. Like, it doesn't mean it was, that kill could have been back when Jigsaw was alive. It doesn't matter. That you don't need a time frame on that. Right. It just needs to be, it could be a flashback. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Especially in this movie that plays around with time, because you have Hoffman, who his you know, cheek is all messed up, and so he sews it up, and then later on he's fully alive, and you have you know, and it's like fully healed or whatever. You have the Bobby character interacting with Jigsaw. You've got all kinds of different things. You've got Gibson, who the Gibson character was in the original Final Destination movie, and looks like the grown-up version of Eddie from It 2 is what Chad Donella looks like to me.
Yep.
And it's you've got all of those different pieces to where everyone like worked with someone before or knows someone, but then you've got all this stuff to where it's like, all right, so Bobby's going through all this stuff and you can't put the people that he lied to and let down, like those aren't the people that he's trying to save, and they couldn't use like, fuck, I've been in here before, now I got to get out again, like this is bullshit, you know, they couldn't have something like that. Like, what did I didn't do anything twice to be deserving to be in here again, all this kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't know. So I was hoping for something that was more like had more of a point to what he was doing. Like I get the idea of he lied to his wife and so he's like living a lie. But if I lied to my wife in that situation, be like, yeah, don't care. Just plug the thing in and get me out. We'll deal with this later.
Yeah.
Like exactly. It wouldn't be a thing where he's like, oh, I just don't know. And da, da, da. And I'm apparently never going to use my legs when I pull myself up from something. I'm just going to hang from the skin of my chest.
Oh,
like a dummy. I'm like, what are you doing, guy? Like, have you never climbed a rope in your life in gym? Like you just hanging there with his legs out to the side. I'm like, well, that's not the way to do it.
And having him, like, if Jigsaw was still alive, having him have to do what he said happened, you could have, it would have got to the point, like, it would have ripped out and he would have fallen to the ground. And then there could have been a video of him going, I would never use that trap because it's physically impossible for you to do that.
Right.
So, sucks to be you, you're dead. You know?
Right. Yeah, because as it is, it's just like, oh, there's just some skin that breaks and he falls.
Yeah.
And then he just kind of like, he's like just doing, you know, the ultimate warrior on the fucking ring ropes while his wife's in the preheat, you know, oven setting. So I don't know. I was like, what is this ending? I don't know.
The wife in the thing reminded me, I saw a tweet the other day and it was, it's morbid as hell, but it was during cremation. There is a point in the process where the meat is perfectly cooked.
Oh my God. Well, I mean, I guess it's not wrong.
Exactly. And I'm like, oh, that's so fucking dark. And then as soon as I saw this bit, I was like, yeah.
Yeah, you're like, yeah, I guess that's true. You
know, I wonder if there's a point where, you know, that's happening, you get a point and you go,
Right. When you're like, ah, not bad. And then you're like, ooh, don't like it.
Nah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. So one of the other bits that I thought was just... I just thought it was such bad filmmaking, and I don't even like saying that word, but it's when Jill is attempted to be your protagonist. It's like when they're trying to make her the hero, and she has a dream of how she's going to die. And I'm like, wait a minute. Why is Jill having dreams? Like, why is she having dreams? This is not a thing that this franchise does. This franchise doesn't do dreams like this.
She's a psychic all of a sudden.
And I'm like, okay, so she's having a dream about being killed and then she's not killed in that way. So what is the point of having it be like that? Like, what is the point of a dream sequence of a character dying and then having them not die in the way that they dreamed about?
We do finally get the payoff with the reverse bear trap.
The reverse bear trap.
Someone does cop it.
Yeah, it's one of the one... It's like one of the, what, like four or five times when they blatantly use the 3D something coming straight at the screen effects. It's one of those sorts of deals.
Oh, yeah. Where, and the 3D is
the teeth Friday the 13th. From, yeah.
Yeah, Friday the 13th 3D level bad.
Right, it is. And you're like, God. I don't know. It's like one of those where I watch it and I'm like, I don't know why they keep trying to do this. Like, what do they keep trying for?
And half the time you can't even, like, I couldn't even work out where the 3D would be coming from.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, there's not much of it. Like, at least in, you know, in Friday the 13th 3D, they've got like the pole and the snake. And as much as it's bad, it still works because it's obviously coming at the camera. Whereas this, I was like, there's some points I'm like, this doesn't work.
Yeah, they've got the teeth. They've got Dr. Gordon throwing the handsaw. And then there's one of the earlier moments where I remember thinking, oh, here's the 3D moment, but I can't recall what it is exactly, but I think it was only like three or four things. where they do it, and I'm like, okay. I mean, I guess. I don't know.
Okay. Sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So one of the things that I thought actually did work fairly well was when I kind of liked the idea of the domino effect of the kills. Like, I liked the idea of the guy, even though they are like, oh, you're racist, and you don't see any of that actually happen. Yeah. And I'm like, I mean, I guess I guess you're just saying because he's like a skinny white guy that looks like he does a lot of drugs that he's a racist. And I'm like, all right, well, I guess I'll go with it.
And that's Chester from Linkin Park.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's out of my wheelhouse there. And so to see that sort of be like, look, you're going to be responsible for three people. You're also going to die if you don't do this. And then he tries and doesn't. And then you get the watermelon squish. That's very much like Toxic Mr. Hang and Tough. Well, no, not Toxic Avenger. No, like talking about Eric Matthews getting smushed by the ice is what it looked like.
Oh, yes. Donnie.
Or like what's his name? Dang it, I can't think of his name, but it's the guy from the Halloween movie that came out a couple years ago where he gets his head stepped on and it smushes in that way.
Oh, that sounds like a Rob Zombie one, isn't it?
No. It's the first of the newer ones, the David Gordon Green ones.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. But anyway, so that's the sort of effect that they went for. Mm. And I thought that was just kind of interesting because you're like, all right, it's almost like a heist. To where you're like, here's all of these things that are set up, and now we're going to watch them sort of pay off. So I didn't mind.
You know they're not going to survive because, well, what's the point? Like, it's not, well, I set all this up. That would have been a really good way to throw off the audience by going, all right, look at this. You know, if this is going to fall onto her, it's going to rip this guy apart, and it's going to smash into this guy, and they're all going to be dead. And then he gets out and survives and rescues everybody. You'd be like, oh. a good way to, you know, to really take the expectations of the audience and flip it over.
Yeah, exactly, because that way, or maybe the dude that is that's chained up to the garage door, maybe he is able to get out and he's like, fuck this, and he just runs away or whatever. Like, just anything to sort of subvert expectations would have been great.
Yeah.
Because instead, they're just like, hey, these people are going to die. And you're like, okay, I bet they are. And then they do. And you're like, all right, they sure died, I guess.
Yeah, they sure did.
Yeah. When you're like, I don't know what I'm supposed to take from that. Or am I supposed to be glad about it? Am I supposed to be upset about it? I don't know what I'm supposed to think.
Well, they're racist, Eric. They're supposed to die.
That's, I mean, fair enough. But that's the way that I felt for most of the movie, to where I'm like, all right. All of these people are dying. I mean, okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, what else do you got?
Can we have a bit of story? Come on.
Exactly. Because again, it's Hoffman and Jill, and they're just kind of goofing around, and Hoffman burns like a third of the town in these movies. It's like, God, he just keeps setting everything on fire. Like the fire department has to hate this dude.
And when he's in the police, was it the police station? Yeah. When he swaps bodies with a dead guy.
Yeah, this is where they got like the police station and the fake police station and the door and the secret thing and all the, and it's like all of this, like, okay, you just had a set and you made these sort of little areas and you're like, God dang.
And he went full Silence of the Lambs by pretending he was someone else in body bag.
Oh yeah.
But then the thing, like, maybe it's because I watched too many Friday the 13th type movies, but he killed the next four people in exactly the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Knife through the bottom of the jaw, knife through the bottom of the jaw, knife, like each one. And it was like, come on, man, be a little bit more creative. You know, you're the Saw legacy guy. You know, you're supposed to be more creative with your kills, but you're just stabbing people in the bottom of the jaw. And if your knife's not long enough, that's probably not going to kill them anyway.
Yeah. It's just going to make them, you know, a hole in their bottom of their palate. And so you're like, it's going to bleed a lot. And speaking of bleeding a lot, holy shit, does taking a tooth out bleed a lot? Oh my God. So, you know, the Bobby character pulls a tooth and it, he bleeds like he cut his arm off or something, and you're like, what the hell, like, dude, I get that it'll bleed, but it's like, it's just a tooth.
You're gonna die from blood loss just from a tooth.
Unbelievable the amount of blood loss. And I was like, this is where you're just throwing, you're like literally just throwing blood on the screen and just hoping for the best.
Yep,
oh,
exactly.
Man, so frustrated with this last couple efforts. Like, I just did not enjoy them at all.
No.
And it was a thing where, I don't know, it's like, I would love to, and I think that we've picked out a few things that could have been good ideas and could have been something that they went with, but it just makes me think, like, what are you guys doing? Like, who are the producers that are saying, yeah, this is exactly what we want? Because you can still have all of the Saw stuff, but you don't have to have all of this bull crap, I guess.
Or just the stupid backstory that doesn't matter.
Yeah. I swear to Christ, John Kramer was so busy for all of these months, like leading up to his first kill. You know, because he's, and like, I'm sitting there thinking, who in the hell is the one that's like stitching these perfect letters on the inside of Bobby's mouth? Like, who's doing that? Like, who's in there engraving these numbers?
I don't even want to be awake for that.
Well, yeah, they're putting the numbers on the inside of his molars. And then I'm like, all right. So then someone's got to set the safe up to that or set the whatever trap up to that. And what if they fucked up? Wouldn't that be funny? Like, I just keep thinking of, like, he punches in the code, right? And it doesn't open because whoever set it up didn't punch it in. Like, he put it as 84 instead of 85 or whatever. And he's like, damn it. And then he gets killed right there.
Yep. And then it's just Jigsaw going, oh, come on. Right. We've told him detail. You need to follow that. You're fired.
Yeah. And so he's going and he's like washing all of that paint off of all of the next traps. Cause he's like, well, I guess we can't fucking use these because Hoffman can't follow directions.
just Jigsaw HR. Look, we're going to have to fire you. And that literally means we set you on fire.
That's right. Because it'll say like Bobby and then Bobby's crossed out. And then it says like Roger or whatever. And you're like, God damn it. He's trying to splice in the Roger name over Bobby. It doesn't work.
The videos are like, hello. It's the Simpsons Camp Krusty. You know, my old friend, Mr. Black. Right. He's just cutting across the... You know, and this, it's like we've got to change letters, this Eric one now. This has to be Fred. Mm-hmm, and it's, you know, look, it's Fred's husband, not his wife. So we've got to change that in there too.
You're like, ah, damn it. And he just keeps giving that side eye to Hoffman because he's like, you fucker. You can't do anything right.
Radio Shack is closed now, man. I can't find videotapes anymore.
I've only got three left. They've been recorded over several times. Look, I ate this one. This one's not even any good anymore.
It's turned into old copies of Fast Times at Ridgemont High where Phoebe Cates takes a top off. It's just so blurry now from all the rewinding. It doesn't work.
It doesn't work. Unbelievable. See, Saw 8, the next final chapter. We could have wrote it, but they didn't come to us.
No, exactly. No, sorry.
A mistake on their part. Eventually. Yeah.
Yep.
One of these days. Yeah. I don't know. So anything else about Saw 3D? Because this one was brutal. This one was not good. The acting was terrible. That's the thing that we haven't really talked about too much in this because it's just a lot of people that you don't really know and they're just kind of screaming a lot. So it's like they're not being asked to do much. So it's hard to be like, oh, they weren't very good. It's like, well, look at the material. All they got to do is, oh, help me, fuck. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh, don't kill me. And then they get killed. So you're like, all right.
I think... Like, I didn't like this one, but that ending made me probably hate this movie. It became so more convoluted than in an already convoluted movie or plot, you know, series of films, that it was just, what was the point? You know, you could have brought Cary Elwes back in a better role, and it was just, it was pointless. And to realize that he's been working with Jigsaw the whole time, it was just... Like everyone may as well be working with Jigsaw at this point. You know, Jigsaw's got no one else to kill because they're all working for him.
Yeah, they apparently all of the people that killed, those are the people that were working in a different trap that went wrong, and then they had to record back over it, and so as punishment they were killed in a different trap.
Yeah,
that's exactly. That's the only way that anyone ever gets killed, is when they're making a mistake in the whole crafting the trap process. Otherwise,
but at least he's creating jobs.
That's right. Where's the article? You know, they had all those articles about John Kramer. Like, I want to see the one where he's like, Jigsaw, a murderer or job creator? ?
Yeah.
That's what I would have liked to see. I wanted a real both sides sort of look at the Jigsaw character.
Exactly. No.
Unbelievable. These were terrible. These last couple were just terrible. I wished that they would have been better. I have my optimistic sort of hat on for the Jigsaw origin story ? I don't know what Jigsaw is, I guess. I know that the podcast that shall not be named was not high on it back when they were still going.
Yes.
And that kind of gives me pause. I do know that Laura Vandervoort was in it, and I know her from Smallville. To where she was in that. And so I'm kind of interested in that, or maybe it's her that sets this whole thing in motion or something, because it's tough when she is best known as this and not from Smallville. So she apparently has been doing a ton recently.
And the main actor,
I guess.
Matt Passmore is an Australian guy who's been in a lot of stuff here.
Mm.
So maybe that was his big... Oh, actually, because it's directed by the Spierig brothers, who are Australians.
Oh, okay. But that's also your guy. That's Hoffman. He's an Australian man.
He's
a Melbourne guy.
Yeah, him and his brother. I mean, his brother was floating around somewhere too.
Well, no wonder you were so keen on 4 and 5. Then it's some Aussie sort of situation.
Well, Keen's a big call.
So, all right. Well, what else? Yeah, because the Spierig brothers did this, and then Winchester after Predestination, and that's that Ethan Hawke time movie, right?
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, yeah. And they did all the movie there. They did a zombie sort of movie called Undead, really, really good. Yeah. I saw that at a film festival, and that was really, really good. Different sort of spin on it.
Oh, and they must get along real well with Ethan Hawke, because they did Daybreakers with him before they did Predestination. And I like Ethan Hawke. He's one of those guys that outside of his divorces or his like sort of relationship stuff, like you don't see a whole lot of people talking too much shit about him. So I'm kind of like, all right,
yeah,
he seems like a good guy. Please don't prove me wrong.
That's no, one exactly. Of those sort of he's situations. Always pretty, even in the, you know, the not so great films that he's made, he's usually pretty solid as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he's hardly ever a person where you're like, oh, he's bad. He's not good in this, you know?
Mm.
I'm glad that he wasn't in a Saw film.
Oh God, could you imagine?
Mm. He would have been a good Hoffman. That's the thing.
Hoffman.
Like, well, yeah, that's the thing where it's like, if you put a different actor in there, a different caliber or level of an actor, I wonder how these later movies play, because those guys would be of higher stature to where they could be like, you know, no, we're not doing this. I'm calling the producers and we're going to have a different, you know, run of things. We're not doing this.
Exactly.
That could have been interesting. So, all right. Well, wrapping this one up, if you have any comments, suggestions, or movies that you'd like to hear us talk about, you can email us at plainlabelpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow the show over at Twitter. Our handle is @plainlabelpod, where you could follow me. I'm EricWilliams79. We also have an Instagram account. Just search for Plain Label Podcast and you'll find us over there. If you wanted to help out the show, you could check out our show notes, where you'll find the link to our Amazon wish list. I do want to thank Mr. Shaw for coming on once again and enduring Saw 6 and 7. If people wanted to hear more from you or purchase something from you, where could they do that?
I'm @Andrew_Shaw23 on Instagram and Twitter. Come talk to me about horror movies, because that's pretty much all I tweet about these days. yeah, if you if you do like horror comics, I have an anthology for sale on Comixology and on in print through me called Cul-de-Sac. 63 pages of hand-painted art, playing on the notion that you don't know what your neighbors are doing behind their closed doors. They could be Jigsaw in disguise.
They could be. If they have a humongous warehouse that often gets set on fire, they could be Jigsaw. Lots of
wrought iron.
Yeah, tons of bars and wrought iron. That's right. All right, well, thank you for listening, and you can join us next week when we conclude our discussion of the Saw franchise with the films Jigsaw and Spiral.